Well, guys, we survived the flu barely, and we're back ready to boog, talk a little spring football, recruiting, and then obviously wrap it up with the basketball season closing in on the regular season ending. Can't wait to get talking about it. This is episode 23 of the Top Button Podcast, and I'm your host, Charlie Five. Guys, I'm not going to lie. I was down for the count. I could barely talk, coughing. It was rough. It was rough. So take care of yourself. It's out there. It's getting around, and it's no joke. It's no joke. So, but I'm back. I got my energy about 80% of the way back. I got me a little Celsius raging through the body right now, and ready to talk a little spring football. And the most important part of spring football. I'm sorry. Before we get started, let's give a shout. I forgot. We got to give a shout out because I got to give a huge shout out to Ford Stokes at Act Wealth Management. Look, not only is this guy a wealth connoisseur that's going to help you grow your retirement to where it needs to be, but the dude just cares. Dude just cares. I put out a tweet. Hey, I'm out. I'm down for the count. First message I get is from Ford Stokes checking in on me. What a guy. What a guy. Auburn guy. He's going to put together a custom plan for you to help you get you where you need to be. Look him up, activewealth.com, Ford Stokes. Show him some love. All right. So, look, numbers matter. Okay. Numbers matter. And the most important numbers to talk about in spring are jersey numbers. Yes. Jersey numbers matter, gang. You don't want to get stuck. Pigeonholed into a goofy number if you're going to be a stud. If you get stuck with one, you hope eventually you can get out of it. And we had a couple of big time number changes that I think are going to pay huge dividends moving forward. So starting off right off the bat, you have Caleb Wooden, who was number 12 last year. Not a great safety number. That's a quarterback number. Don't really like it. Never really liked 12 as a safety. I feel like it's, you know, you don't really fear number 12. He ever feared a number 12 safety? So he did? Just flipped it up, 21. Now, boom. 21 as a safety? Whew. Bro, going to put a face mask on your face mask. So let's get ready. Caleb Wooden flips to 21. I absolutely love that number change. Tyler Scott, 31 as a corner. You can't. There's no 31 that can hang with any wide receiver in the SEC. Okay, you got to have a low, either a single digit number in the teens, 20s. He switches to 14. I think he's in for a big year. That's huge. It's lighter. He's going to be able to move better. 31 to 14, much better, much better corner number. Kay and Lee, not a huge change. Number three, great corner number. Go to number four. Hey, let's get a little of that DJ James juice, you know, rubbing off a little bit. I like it. I don't feel like that one's a huge impact. He's a baller either way, but notable. Biggest one of the whole room, Terrence Love. 16, again, as a safety. I don't really like teen numbers for safeties. I don't know why. Not a big fan. Switches to number five. All-American. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Terrence Love, he's going to be a household name. Just from that simple little change from 16 to 5, household name, Terrence Love. You're going to love Terrence Love. He became NCAA, his hit number, tackle numbers just went up. His hit power just went up from 16 to 5. You kidding me? I love it. Sorry, Donovan Kaufman. I know you had to leave for us to get free that number up, but I think it's a big move for Terrence Love. I love stuff like this. I love number changes. I love to see incoming freshmen, transfers, numbers that kind of jump off at me. I mean, obviously, you got Cam Coleman, who's number 8. That was his high school number, and what a great wide receiver number. And it's you know, 8's sort of like feels like a taller number. Cam's tall. Fills out really well, looks good on his jersey. Love that number right there. That he got to roll with a high school number. Amaris Williams, defensive lineman, already repping with some of the ones that we're going to talk about a little bit later. Number 10, jacked 275-pound defensive lineman, freshman stud. Gimme. Love it. Jamonta Waller, number 11, is a jack. Oh, boy. And he looks good in pads, too. 10 and 11 right there, freshman, defensive lineman, pass rusher specialists. I love those number changes. Love those number changes. And then, you know, DeMarcus Riddick, 16 as a middle linebacker. Leaves a little bit to be desired. I'm just going to be honest. He's probably going to wear it well, and it's probably going to look good. But I don't know. I don't ever feel like I'm an old school guy. And I don't ever feel like I'm like I like throwback stuff. But something about 50s. A linebacker with a linebacker's got to have a five in it. Whether it's a 50 or ends with a five. I don't know. 16. I'm sure it'll grow on me. But there's a great article on Auburn Daily, auburndaily.com, where Zach and the guys, they put together all the different new numbers that got released for all the transfers. Antonio Kite, cornerback, number 8. Love that number. Jaron Thompson, the safety from Texas, number 1 on defense. Love number 1. As a safety numbers. Y'all have to bear with me because my voice is it'll kind of cut in and out. Yeah, so I know that's goofy, but I love a height and weight chart, and I love number changes, and I love to see what new numbers people get for spring, because I think it matters. Again, you don't want to get stuck with a goofy number and then have to kind of make it work. So a lot of cool stuff there going on. Let's move on to the actual practice. All right, so we had two practices, and then we're going to have a long break. We got spring break this week. All pads, not all no pads. It was just shorts and helmets. They did seem to have like some kind of padding per se, but maybe it's the little pad that goes up underneath the shoulder pads, but regardless, it was basically 7-on-7 type stuff. A lot of position drills, a lot of just fundamentals, getting back into the mix. A little bit of 11-on-11 stuff, but again, mostly it was just getting the team back together, getting back into the routine of working out, meeting, watching film from practice the day before. And I think Hugh really wants to stretch this out so that they can watch as much film from practice as possible. Don't want to cram it in and get it over with. This is a big spring. We've shifted away from the recruiting aspect. Not like that we're going to stop recruiting, but as Hugh being the lead, Hugh is X's and O's right now. The coaching aspect of this year is very, very important, and he's putting the emphasis on this early so that he can get the practices in, but not so fast that we can't really take our time, break it down, and get the most out of this whole spring practice. So, I mean, I think some of the bigger notes as far as like what we can glean from these 2 days, it does seem that Cam Coleman is going to be ready to play as a true freshman. Physically, the kid just looks different. He runs different. He bends different. It's really rare to see a guy that's 6'3" to be able to bend and cut a route off like he's and be able to get almost horizontal the way he does in and out of breaks and still be able to make catches and accelerate. And he doesn't really lose a lot of speed. He glides. He gallops. I mean, the kid, it's the highlights you saw of him. Now, honestly, Some of it was against air. Some of it was some one-on-one stuff that that people talked about that you didn't necessarily get to see on video. He started off predictably in the second group. I think by the time we get to spring practice, he's easily going to be, you know, running with the ones. I don't know how you can look at pictures of him, look at video of him and not get, you know, incredibly, incredibly excited for this kid's future. He put out a video recently. He put out a video on his either his Instagram or Twitter of him on spring break catching backhanded, one-handed balls off a jug machine. Okay, think about that. One-handed, backhanded. Okay, so he's taking his right hand, he's reaching across his body and catching it with the bat, like a backhand. Like if you're a shortstop and you're gonna backhand a ground ball, that's what he's doing with a jugs machine close distance with a football. That's incredibly hard. Like, you gotta have really big hands to pull that off. And I'm definitely not that guy. Not many are, but he's going to be so much fun to watch. So obviously that was the highlight. One of the highlights of spring is just getting to see him in some kind of action. And I don't think, at least as of now, he's disappointed. There was some body transformations that I was very, very impressed with. One of them in particular was Deron Reed. I think he wears number 45, which is a great number, by the way. And I think he, you know, he came in last year. He was one of those little steals that Hugh got. He flipped from LSU after he got hired. Came in last year. I think he had a lot of work to do, like in the weight room, in the classroom, and things like that. Redshirted, and I saw him run some drills, and he looks absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I think he's going to be a player this year. The defensive line, you know, we brought in two transfers because obviously we just didn't know what we had. You got a lot of young guys. You got a lot of young guys coming in. You had some young guys that you just brought in. you had Keldrick Falk that worked out great, but you just didn't feel like you just knew what you had. And I think we're incredibly surprised with how well guys like a Deron Reed or incomers like Malik Blockton, TJ Lindsey, how these guys are play. Amaris Williams, like I said, Amaris is already kind of running with the ones. I think you're surprised with how well these guys are fitting in and are looking like they're going to be good players right off the bat. I know that on the very interior, we may be a little bit still questionable. Jason Jones is another one. Holy cow, he looks incredible. He's obviously 300 pounds, but he doesn't look 300 pounds. Like, he's just absolutely chiseled. And I think he, you know, went with the business haircut. We cut off the twist. We cut off the, you know, we're going high and tight, and we're here for business. And I like that too. So I think they were surprised to see, pleasantly surprised to see the young guys come in and look ready to play. And some of the young guys that were already here do the work in the offseason to get themselves ready to contribute now, because we need them now. And I think defensive line, that was a big question mark, probably the biggest question mark of this whole team, I think is slowly starting to reveal that it may not be as big of a weakness as we thought. So I still think the plan is to try to find, you know, maybe one or two more interior guys during the spring portal, when the spring portal opens up. But again, it's so early. You got to see how Trill Carter, Gage Keys, how those guys match up and how they fit in, especially when you put pads on, because that matters. No injuries to speak of, really. I think DeMarcus Riddick got a little bit dinged up the first day, but I don't think it was anything serious. So that's always good. again, no pads. So hopefully everybody gets back safe from spring break. And then you kind of move in to the more serious, rigorous practices. And that's another thing, spread them out. So it's not just bam, bam, bam. And then you end up having some big time injuries. You can get the most out of it. Give the guys time to recover. It's an interesting way to break it all out, but I'm anxious to see how, you know, kind of the slow drip of information, see how this whole thing plays out. So A-Day it seems far away, but it's really not that far away. I mean, I guess we're right at a month away. So should be fun. We'll see what happens. So quarterbacks, it really does seem like it's, you know, early. It does seem like it's a Peyton and Hank, and really no one else is really that close at the moment. So I think it's a legitimate, I think it's going to be a legitimate competition. I do think Thorne has the upper hand, but Hank, one thing about Hank, man, you can tell from doing interviews, you can listen to interviews with Zach, interviews, things that he does when he talks, that kid is not scared of anything. Okay. That kid is ready to play. And, he's not intimidated. So he's ready to battle. So, even if Thorne has the upper hand, he better not let up. And Hugh basically said as much, you know, it may be Thorne's job to lose, but he's going to have to bring it every single day. And I believe that because of things that you hear from Hank. You see it on social media, throwing dimes to Rivaldo for touchdowns. You see it on, like I said, like his interviews on Locked On Auburn. The kid is not backing down. He is not here to just be a backup. He's here to play. To be sort of like an unsung late signee in Hugh's first class and not a lot of expectations. I love to see the fire that he has, and he's going to be hard to keep off the field. So Thorne's got to bring his A game every single day, and that's good for everybody. That's good for everybody. Haven't really had that in a while. Haven't really had a true, like, I felt like a real good competition with comparable guys that can run the same offense. It's not like it's I run one, you run the other. It's the same offense. They can execute the same offense, and they're going to be able to push each other. And I think that's great. So it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the reps work out, and how this whole thing plays out down the stretch. Wide receivers, again, we talked a little bit about wide receivers. I think the big note was Sam Jackson, listed as an outside wide receiver, and he was kind of rotating as a 1B on one side. I think that kind of puts to bed a lot of the gadget talk, a lot of the, you know, is he going to be a wildcat quarterback? Is he going to be a Swiss Army knife type player? No, kid's here to play wide receiver. And if you watch his high school film at wide receiver, his sophomore or junior year, the kid's got some skills. And we know he's got wheels. We know he can run. So Hughes talked about him as a high risk, high reward. I really looked at that addition as like a no risk, high reward, because I didn't necessarily think you had to have him. But if he comes in and he works out and he's dynamic as we think he can be, you hit a home run. So I'm very interested to see how that whole thing works out. They're raving over the offensive line. They love how that left side is gelling already. Percy Lewis, Dylan Wade. And then obviously you got Connor Liu, who's locked in at center. Then you got the battle right there at right guard that could be a number of guys. And then Tutal Miller, who is just, it seems like he continues to get more impressive physically as time goes. Like every day he comes to practice, he just looks better physically. So a guy, as much as you can get out of 2 days of helmets and no pads, we've broken it down every single way. I think the biggest thing is The offense has an identity, and we seem to have some playmakers now, and we're getting a little bit more positive feedback on plays made and guys being able to, you know, go make catches and throws instead of a lot of, you know, oh, the wide receivers are inconsistent. The wide receivers are inconsistent. Big play ability is not there. It seems to be sort of, you know, a lot more positive on that aspect. So let's see what happens the rest of this week. Obviously, there's no practice, but when they get back, start putting the big boy pads on and popping helmets and face masks. And we'll see if the younger guys are really, really ready. We know they look good on the hoof, but are they ready to really be physical and get ready for the grind of the SEC? So we got a few days until that happens. So just hang in there, and we'll keep you posted. Before we move on to recruiting, let's give a shout out to Plains Coffee. Coffee's about the only thing that got me through this last several days, and Plains Coffee was key for that. Use coupon code button for 10% off your order. The aroma just helps open you up, helps you be able to breathe. Freshly ground the day before it ships. A little bit of everything to choose from a roast perspective. So you can get kind of whatever coffee you desire, whatever coffee fits you, they're going to have it. So check them out, plainscoffee.com. Show some love to another Auburn guy. Use coupon code button for 10% off. All right, what's going on with recruiting, guys? You know, we land a big commitment with Devin Williams, and then out of the blue, which was, I will say, probably like a 30% on the surprise meter. Wasn't shocking to see, but Antonio Coleman flips back to Alabama. I think it was sort of inevitable when the whole Ryan Williams thing didn't work out. And then, obviously, Jeremy Garrett going to the NFL. It was just going to be really hard to keep this, you know, this whole defensive line class, you know, in this class. And he was the biggest one that loved Jeremy Garrett. And I think the writing was kind of on the wall when the Ryan Williams thing didn't work out, that he would flip back. So I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to act like it's not a big deal. I talked about the emphasis of Mobile. It's losing another kid in Mobile. So you got to bounce back. You got to figure out a way to win more of those battles. And again, I don't think this is a reflection or a sign for anything. I think this is just one of those, it's a big deal, but it's not like it's one of those malignant things that I think you're like, oh man, what are we going to do? We lost Mobile. You know, I just think it's a series of events. Alabama kept the only coach that had that, one of the only coaches they kept just so happened to be this guy's lead recruiter. And then we lost his lead recruiter to the NFL. So just kind of a freak thing. I think he was always sort of an Alabama kid anyway. it was actually a huge, huge surprise to be able to flip him when we did. So again, I don't want to act like it's not a big deal. There's tons of defensive linemen that we're in on, that we're talking with, that are visiting over the next several weeks. And we still have several guys that are committed that, we feel good about for at least for now. And now that the dead period's up and kids can start visiting during the quiet period, which is only allowed for kids to come visit your campus. And then I think it opens up again in April for like coaches to be able to go on the road and stuff like that. So you're going to see a ton of visits over the next, you know, I guess the next rest of the month, the next through the end of March. I think there's already like 20 guys scheduled to visit in March. So, and those include a five-star quarterback, a five-star offensive tackle, a five-star wide receiver, numerous four-star linemen, four-star defensive linemen, four-star defensive players. And then I still think you're on the cusp of adding at least three more commits this month. I think this month you could add three more. I think they're going to really want to start pushing, building the momentum of this class. And I haven't heard anything that makes me feel like that's changed. So March is going to be fun. Again, the visits are going to start rolling in after, you know, you got to get spring break out of the way. Some kids will want to kind of come visit Auburn on their spring break. So you may not necessarily be just big weekends. You may have a lot of midweek type visits and things like that. So I'll kind of keep you posted on when a lot of these visits go down, anything that we hear from them and you know, hopefully keep you posted, talk about any commits that come up in the next couple of days. So yeah, it's no fun to lose. It's no fun to lose a kid to anyone, but definitely not to Alabama, and definitely not one that you previously flipped from Alabama. So, and on top of that, not a kid from Mobile. But again, I don't think it's a malignant thing. I think it's just a circumstantial thing that, you know, they kept the coach that was recruiting him and we didn't. So that's pretty much, it's pretty much as simple as that. But I think Vontrell is going to win his fair share of battles. So they're already raving about him in practice. The defensive linemen are raving about him in practice. There's a lot of energy. The defensive line in general, I think, is in really, really good hands. Really, really good hands. All right. So again, I'll keep you updated the best I can on recruiting. It should start popping off now that the dead period is up and visits are going to start happening like crazy. Again, already like 20 scheduled visits just in the month of March. So that's a lot of visits in a short amount of time. All right, two games left in this regular season basketball season. Auburn goes to, or I'm sorry, not goes to, Auburn brings, they do go to Tennessee, play unreal. What a basketball game. Dalton Kanek scores 25 points in 11 minutes, goes completely unconscious and starts hitting everything. I think in 11 minutes, he missed one shot. I don't count. Technically, he missed two, but I didn't really count the three-pointer he jacked up at the end because it was just sort of like a late in the shot clock type thing. He just threw one up. But so really missed one shot that he was really trying to make and one turnover. That's incredible. And 25 points. We tried a little bit of everything. We tried doubling. We tried tripling. Tried denying him like when he crossed the center line. Tried a little bit of everything. Chad on him. Put KD on him. Put Broom on him. Sometimes it just goes like that. Sometimes just a guy gets hot and there's just nothing you can do. And the big thing is, I feel like for the most part, we answered back every single time up until, you know, right there at the end of the game where I don't know if we were gassed. I just don't know if it just – we got, you know, it's a road game, so it's tough in general. But I felt like we answered back. We shot well. But in the end, he just kind of took the game over, and we couldn't really score enough to keep up. We definitely couldn't stop him. So that was obviously a tough loss, but one that I feel like you don't play road games in the tournament. Okay. I think you play that game on a neutral site. I think Auburn wins that game. I think Auburn can beat Tennessee on a neutral court. I really, really do. Especially if they're playing, you know, if they shoot that well in a hostile environment, like how well are we going to shoot on a neutral court? Some of our best shooting nights that we've had all year were on neutral courts. So I think that's something to watch for tournament season. That's something I keep preaching about, to be patient and understand that these games are not like that. That's not when people say, when people talk about Auburn's Q1 record and stuff like that, you don't play Q1 games on the road in the tournament. You're going to play them on a neutral court. You're going to play them on a neutral court. And when Auburn plays on a neutral court, they play exceedingly well. They play incredibly good basketball. And right now, we're even playing good basketball on the road. So you lose to Tennessee, you come home, and really you dominate Mississippi State, but you know, you got a little bit sloppy, you know, around the middle of the game. But it really felt like there were no threat whatsoever to ever really challenge. We out-physicaled them, which is something pretty rare for Mississippi State because they're so massive. You got guys like Tolu Smith, and you got guys like Matthews who are just freaking monsters that can bang with anybody. And I think we pretty much held them in check. Chaney was unbelievable. Broome obviously is unbelievable. Denver's starting to heat up. Are we finally starting to unlock Denver? Because, again, that's the key. We're shooting the basketball so well right now. So incredibly well. And it's something that I've been watching all season. I feel like the shooting aspect is peaking. You play tonight, you play Missouri, who bless their hearts. You know, that's a Southern thing, bless their hearts. They haven't won a single conference game. And by God, you don't want to be their only win. And it is on the road. So it's not like it's been a tough environment. Everybody wins there. But still, who knows? I feel like, you know, it's a ranked team coming in. We're, I think, 13th in the AP poll. So I don't know if this is their last home game. Is it their senior night? Is it their, you know, their last circle the wagons type game? Who knows? But you feel good. You should be able to go in, win that game. And then you have Georgia at home, who you absolutely throttled at their place. That'll get you at 13-5 in the conference, which to me, if you're an Auburn fan, Auburn basketball fan, you can't be happy at least satisfied with a 13-5 conference record going into tournament play. I think your priorities are just messed up a little bit. Sure, there's some games that we should have won that we dropped that may have cost us a regular season championship, but I think we're going to be a nightmare when anybody looks across the line and sees Auburn's name written down against them in the SEC tournament. And I think we're going to be a nightmare in the NCAA tournament. They do this. I think that they look at the statistic, and it's like offensive and defensive efficiency rankings. And for like the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, the winners of the national championship have all been 12th ranked offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency. And they did a list of teams that fit that criteria, and Auburn's one of them. Auburn's one of the teams that fit the criteria that have made a run for a national championship over the last X amount of years. I don't know. I think it's 15 years or something like that, since like 2010. So this is the analytics love this team. The things they do well are great for tournament basketball. They're great for tournament basketball. Defense and shooting. And then efficiency on offense. This new game this new pull up from the free throw line jump shot game that Chad is showing, to be able to, you know, get one screen and be able to drive into right to the top of the key or top of the lane and be able to pull up and hit a little mid-range jumper. That's not even that hard to get open. And if he can drill that with the efficiency that he's knocking it down, and then obviously you got Broome inside, who his inside game has become just so impressive. The way he's just not that incredibly gifted athletically, but he is so efficient with the way he uses his body inside. And it's so like he just knows how to use his body and his size and leverage to be able to get himself tough baskets. And it sometimes you know, he scores with two, three people draped on him. So that's all. I mean, those type things. And then the three-point shooting. I think over the last four or five games, we're leading the country in three-point percentage. This is the time you want to be doing that. Not that very important to be doing it in January. It's huge to be doing it at the end of February and March, the beginning of March, because you're peaking, you're shooting well at the right time. You got to be able to shoot threes in the tournament, and we're doing it from multiple areas, multiple guys. Broom is still hot from three. Him being able to step out and be a threat is so invaluable, so invaluable. So you got Broom. Denver's heating up. Denver got a couple of good open looks. We ran some really cool stuff to get him some open looks against Mississippi State, and he just drains them. And then he also hit a little transition three, a little transition step back three as well, which he typically hasn't done this year. So it's his confidence building. again, we're doing all the right things at the right time. There's an outside shot. There could be like a five-way tie for the regular season title, which I would welcome. You know, we don't get to hang that banners that often. So you know, I'll welcome any type of share of a conference title. So again, a lot of stuff to be excited about for this basketball team. Let's finish this week out strong, and then hopefully get that double bye. I'm not sure if I want the double bye, because I feel like we're going to be, if we get the double bye, I feel like we're probably going to be the fourth number one seed, which means we'll get the best, which means we'll probably get the best, five seed, which could be like a Kentucky. I almost would rather be maybe like either the third number one seed or maybe like the fifth or sixth seed, something like that. Because I'd rather play anybody but Kentucky the first game we play in the tournament. I don't know. Their guards are incredible. Their guards are incredible. So still should be a lot of fun. I still feel like we can beat anybody right now on a neutral court that we play. And hopefully that continues over the next couple of, you know, at least through the end of March and into April for the NCAA tournament. So I think that's going to be it for today. I appreciate y'all hanging in through my voice going in and out through, you know, the coughing. It was a rough couple of days. And so thank y'all for checking in. Thank you to those that sent me a message, you know, things like that. I really appreciate it, but we're back and we're almost 100%. But the boog is high. The boog is high, and we're going to keep it going. So thanks again for listening. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. Catch me in the Locked On Auburn Discord. And I'm still on Tuesdays as well on Locked On Auburn. So I appreciate it. Enjoy it. We'll be back on Thursday. This is episode 23 of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.